everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. I am so excited to introduce you to someone today that I have enjoyed just talking to even before our session began today. Her name is Hannah Larson. She is a licensed professional counselor and a life coach. She is licensed in the state of Colorado with over 10 years of experience, but she's got so much more to share with you. And I'm going to let her go into that. So first of all, thank you so much for joining us today, Hannah.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So Hannah, I've got a really interesting question for you. So many of us know that going to a counselor, some of us have never been to a counselor. Some of us have, and some of us are a little bit intimidated, right, to go. So I want to jump right in on that. First of all, to talk to you a little bit about, you know, if somebody has never gone to a counselor, they're intimidated. What can you share with them about the experience of, number one, why, and what to expect when they're going to a session?
That's an excellent question. And what I would share with somebody about seeing a counselor is there are all kinds of different counselors. And so to really take the time to find a counselor that matches you. And a way to do that is to look on a website like psychologytoday.com is one of them. And to think about what is it that you're hoping to get from counseling? So to have some goals when you go into counseling, like I'm feeling really anxious, or I'm having a hard time focusing, or I have some marriage trouble, and to kind of have an idea of what you would like help with for counseling. And then to interview some counselors, I would say 2 to 3, call them, leave them an email, and take some time, 5 minutes, just talking with them to see if you feel comfortable with them. Because each counselor, some counselors are very direct, some counselors are more passive, some provide more strategies. And so sometimes when people have said they had bad experiences with a counselor, I think they just haven't found a counselor that fits them. And so I would say just give it a try. And if that person doesn't work out, feel free to try someone else. They told us in grad school that what happens is people usually get told like one person, go see this person, they're great. And then if that person doesn't work out, they never try it again. And so really just taking the time to find someone that fits with you.
Something just came to mind when I had my son and he was an infant, you know, you interview pediatricians, right? When you're going to find a pediatrician. But are counselors, are they open to being interviewed by you? Because usually they're pretty busy, right? So in today's world, are they open to that?
Some will be open to that. Yes. And you're right. There is like a national shortage of counselors. Another thing you can do is to look on their website and to read through their website and to get a feel for, do I feel comfortable with this therapist? And also if you see someone, give it another try. And if you're not feeling comfortable, instead of giving up on the idea of therapy, really call someone else and see if they would be a better fit for you.
Right. And I think that goes along with not only adults, but with your children. I remember a couple of times when I would take my son to counseling because I'd gone through a divorce. He was at a very young age and I wanted to make sure that he had that outlet to go to. And I knew there was a couple that didn't fit with him, didn't fit with us, but people don't like confrontation, right? So how, I've never asked anyone this question, but I've always wanted to. So how do people exit that? So let's say you found a counselor, you're going to them, maybe for your child, it may be for you, but how do you politically and ethically exit that saying it's not a fit? As you, as a counselor, how do people do that? And how would you appreciate them doing that?
Yeah, I think this sounds really silly, but it's okay to just stop going. You know, as a therapist, I work with many people and people come and go all the time. So when people leave, it's not a big shock. Because people get better or it's not a good fit. So we don't, most counselors don't take it as personally as maybe the other person is fearing.
And you, so you don't call them and say, where are you? Right?
No. If I've been working with someone for a long time and I know they're going through something and there's been a longstanding connection, I might check in, but it's 100% okay if they're like, oh, I'm busy or I'm not doing well. But yes, if you've only seen somebody once or twice, it's highly unlikely that they're going to like call you and be like, where are you? Or why are you not coming? And you know what? If they do, that's okay. Just move on. This is about you, not about us.
That's right. Because the goal is you're looking for help, right? And you're looking, and I always say everyone should have a counselor because it's really you improving your life, right?
Yes.
So talk to us about what you do. You know, what makes you different? Because there's a lot of counselors out there, right? There's a lot of life coaches, and we're going to get into that. But you as a counselor, you know, what makes you different from the others? Because I'd love to know that.
Yeah, I think my style is I'm a dedicated listener. I deeply care about people, but I also provide concrete, practical strategies that anyone can use. So I balance that really being listening and open-hearted with concrete tools that people can use. So they don't just feel like, oh, I was really listened to, but what do I do?
Right, right. Do you personally, do you work with teens? Do you work with adults? Who do you work with?
Yes, I used to work with teens all the time and love teens, but currently I mainly work with people from about 18 to 45.
Mm-hmm. And talk to us a little bit. What are those individuals struggling with, without naming names, just in overall, what are people struggling with today?
Yeah, I would say relationships, being able to focus is big, anxiety, and just a deeper question of life. I think COVID, I think people would be surprised to find how deep young people are and how much they've been thinking about what happened and what that means for their life. Not so much what COVID means for their life, but where they're going with their life and how can they have a meaningful life? That is often a big question.
Right. And, you know, I think that's a great point to say, if you had any advice for parents of teens, how do you start that dialogue? What's something that they can do to start that dialogue with their teens if they know that they're struggling? Because a lot of times teens don't want to talk, right?
Yeah, yes. What I would share, if teens don't want to talk, there is a great resource out there. I love giving resources. It's called Cadey, CADEY.co. Has many great therapeutic articles. So if you need more information, there's a great place. And then what I would say is really listen. So what I've learned about teens is they will talk to you, but here's the hard part. They talk to you when they want to. And so it really is, my brother's 12 years younger. And I remember he used to call me like at 11 o'clock at night and I would just want to go to bed. But I'm like, you know what? If I don't take this call right now, it could be 2 months before he wants to talk again. Yeah. So I would just drop everything and listen. And so if your teen starts to talk to you, as painful as it may be, drop what you're doing and listen to them, because that's your window. And if you miss their window, you miss it. So that would be the tip I'd give, is to really pay attention to when they talk to you and drop what you're doing and then go back to what you need to do.
I think, you know, out of everything you've said so far, Hannah, that is golden. And I'll tell you why. I had that advice given to me at one time, and it was actually from a minister that said, the time that teens want to talk to you is when you are so tired that you just want to go to bed. And many times that's happened to my son. So what I did is I brought in a chair next to my bed that he could just come in here and talk at night. And sometimes he'll sit there, sometimes he won't, but you're exactly right. And I've learned just to be in their presence, because sometimes even going for a drive, they'll talk to you. So I think that is valuable advice. So thank you for that. So Hannah, as I was looking through your background, what makes you so interesting is not only are you a professional counselor, you are a life coach, but you used to work at Kaiser Permanente and you worked, I believe, in the pediatric area or something. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think that just gives you a strong breadth of experience from that world.
Yes. Yeah. So I used to work as a pediatric therapist, mental health therapist, and I worked with all ages, but I had a focus in children and teens. And I loved it. You know, kids and my favorite are teenagers, which I know sounds very odd, but what I love about teens is they're very open when you're not their parents. And if you hang back, so what I learned as a therapist is if I had no judgment, right? Like teens will share some very scary things and some very scary behaviors. But if I come across like I'm scared or I judge what they're doing or just adult, you know, I'd be professional, but I would always say to a teen, I'm not your mom. I'm not your teacher. So I'm not here to give you homework or tell you what you need to do. I'm just here to listen. And what I found is if I listened first and waited for them to ask me for advice, they actually would listen to my advice, but I'd have to wait for them to ask me. So I couldn't, you know, with adults, you can just be like, hey, I've got some advice. Here's what I think you should do. And adults are like, okay, got it, and run. Teens, you need to wait till they ask you. And then if you answer in a very non-judgmental, caring way where you're just, it's okay if they take your advice or don't, they actually are more likely to take the advice. That's what I found. And they will ask for it if I let them trust me first, if that makes sense.
I love that. I really do. So, you know, it's interesting. Let's talk even further about that because I think it's really important. So you talk about teens and teens will sometimes close up. So if we have any teachers that are listening to this podcast, which we have a lot of teachers that listen because we have a focus on ADHD and focusing, but if they have any students that are in their class that they're not getting any participation from or getting, you know, just any reaction from, what advice do you give to teachers in that, in those situations?
Yes. And it's funny, I used to be a school counselor. So I had, that was my first career. I can say what doesn't work is if you call a student out in front of the class, that shuts the student down and they're less likely to come to you or care about your class. I've had teens say to me, which I find really odd and I don't fully understand it, but they're sharing it, is that when they feel like a teacher's hard on them or calling them out in front of their peers, they will sometimes be worse just to spite the teacher. They'll say that, like, I do that just because I know it makes them mad. And I'll say back, do you know that that really hurts you? And they're like, yeah, but they, you can see like,
do they do that for attention?
I don't know if it's attention. I think it's like, they feel hurt. Right. And so they want to get back at the teacher, which is not fair. Teachers are like the hardest working, you know, there's not a harder working profession than teachers. But I would say if you're able to just make that connection, like in the hallway, hello, or after class, like send an email or kind of hold them back with a door open, right? You want to be safe and then share your concerns in a loving way in private. They're going to be much more open to you than if you come down or lecture or come at them, because everybody's always lecturing at teens. And so they just turn off. But if you can just leave an open, kind of open heart, open space, they'll warm up to you.
You know, that's really, really great advice. When I was 16 years old, I lost my 10-year-old sister and it was in the summer and this is a shout out to all the great teachers out there. And I'll never forget, it was first hour. And it was just one of those days. And I just had a tear rolling down my cheek, I think. And it was my journalism teacher. And she said, hey, Angela, can you take this note and take it down to this class? And I said, sure. So I get up, I take it. And it was just a kind note saying, take as much time as you need. I know you're hurting. Don't even worry about coming back. Just take a moment. And I will never forget that. It was just so helpful to me. So it's those little things. And I think you just pointed it right there. So thank you for that. So when I, you know, I was thinking you are, it's amazing. You've really got the perfect background. You've been a teacher. You've been a pediatric therapist. You're a counselor. You're a life coach. But at all of these days, there's got to be days that you're not focused, right? So I want to know, when you have those days, right? And you come in and you're not, you know, let's just say you've got, you know, you've got appointments, right? The appointments don't stop. You can't just call into sick sometimes, right? So, but let's say you're not focused. How can you get yourself back on track, especially in a session? I'm very interested in that because when you're in a counseling session, you can't just ignore them. You've got to have game on and really focus on that person. So how do you do that?
Yeah. One thing I do is when I'm in a session, you know, person to person, really putting everything else on the back burner and telling myself that all other things, even like all other thoughts in my head can wait. That's really what I say to myself. Like, oh, any other thought that you're having in your mind can wait. And I really put my attention and focus on the client that I'm working with. And really, you know, through meditation, I've gotten my brain to be very calm and quiet inside when I cue it. So, and then I really listen to what the person is saying and I have my focus there. And I'll sometimes say this as a counseling strategy too. Like if I get distracted or someone gets distracted, to just quickly bring yourself back to, oh, what was the person saying? And then just quickly refocusing on what they're saying and making that my focus.
Right.
Because really like any problems I have, they can wait that hour.
Right. Exactly. And it's interesting because I notice sometimes a lot of counselors will have to go from 1 hour to the next hour to the next hour. And yeah. I always think, do they get that break? You know, and I've always worried about like, how do they do that? So, and what you're saying is really you're trying to block everything out and focus on that person, right?
Yes. And I went into business for myself because I really love people. And what I found when I went back to back, you know, 7-8 hours a day, I couldn't really give the love and care I wanted. So I went into business for myself and I'm like, I can do 3 in a row before I hit a wall.
Right.
And so I know that. So I will have my calendar blocked where I can see 3 people in a row. And then I take a half hour off and then I just like go for a walk or get a glass of water. And I don't work during that half hour, but I allow myself to recharge and then refocus. So part of focusing for myself was to learn my rhythm and to work within my rhythm instead of against my rhythm.
That's great. That's really, really, really great. So who inspires you?
Yeah, I have like 2 friends right now. Marcy Willard, who's CEO, founder of Katie.co. And then my friend, Patty Dobrowolski, and she is about drawing your future and inspiring people. And I feel very lucky to have such great friends. And they just inspire me because they're 2 entrepreneurs in themselves and they are just dedicated and motivated women. And so they just inspire me to be my best by seeing them do their best, if that makes sense.
And you know what? I'm going to give a big shout out to Patty because I just interviewed her on our podcast. So she was fantastic. And she's got some great ideas to share with people. So I understand why she inspires you because I was inspired myself by her. Another question that we get people that will write into us and say, can you ask your guests these questions? One of those is about failure. So, you know, you've had this great career. You really have. And you have a career of passion and compassion for people. And I love that about you because that's my passion is helping others. But, you know, when you look back at that, you know, was there something in your life, you know, that really maybe set you back or you faced failure that you had to come back from? Have you ever gone through something like that?
I think failure happens to all of us. The first really big failure I can remember was in college, and I had gotten a D in a math class that was incredibly unexpected. And it set me back 6 months because in order to get into the teacher program, and I had like an A GPA. So it was a real surprise to me when I like did that poorly. And what I learned from it, and I'll tell this to teenagers because their biggest fear is like, what if I fail? And I'll say to them, would you ever know that I failed a college class? And because I failed that one particular class, I had to take an entire semester because that was the last thing I needed to go into my last year of college. And by failing that, I couldn't get into that end of the year program until I retook that class.
Wow.
So it took me 6 months longer to complete my degree. But what I'll say to people is, would you ever know that about me? If I didn't share that with you, you would never know that. And so I said, a lot of times we're so freaked out by failure because we're worried about judgment. What holds us back is the inability to keep going. And when we keep going and have resilience, that is the gold. And that is what allowed me to leave my last job. Like I was making 6 figures. It was a great salary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was really scary to walk away. But I looked back at my life and looked at how every time I'd made a leap, it always worked out. Maybe not right away, but in the long run, it always worked out. And that gave me the courage to leave my job.
Yeah. I love that. I've owned my business for 30 years. I left for a brief period and we always want to better ourselves. Right. And I left for a brief period, but I didn't agree with the methodology of the company. And so I thought, you know, I knew what I was doing all along. So sometimes we're harder on ourselves. Right. And so, you're exactly right though. I've had many failures in my life and you're right. A lot of people have, but it's how you come back. It's the resilience. It's coming back and it's not staying stuck and figuring out how not to stay stuck, right? How to move forward. So, I am so inspired by you. I could talk to you all day long, but I want to highlight a couple of things. So you are a counselor in the state of Colorado. So if anyone's interested in you, and they're wanting to go to you or have their teen go to you or their young adult, how can they reach you? Do you have a website that you can shout out?
Yes. Heartfilledcounseling.com.
Okay. And we'll put that on our website as well. And then you also do life coaching and you do that virtually, right?
Yes.
So if you're interested, does somebody need to go to that website to write to you about that?
Yes, that's a different website. That is livingandintuitivelife.com.
Livingandintuitivelife.com.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, wonderful. And, you know, like I said, I love the fact that we talked about teens today, because we've interviewed a lot, and you do adults as well, but we've interviewed a lot of counselors, a lot of teachers, 504 professionals, you know, ADHD coaches. And, you know, we have this mission that once you get a young adult or an adult focused and organized, they can be brilliant. They truly can, right?
Definitely.
It's just helping them get there. Right. So I'm so incredibly inspired by your work. I could talk to you all day. But I have one last question for you. So again, you can't be focused all the time. We know that, right? But yes. When you're getting in your car and you're going to a meeting, and let's say you're speaking at an event or you're going to something, but you've really got to have game on and it's one of those days. How do you get focused, Hannah, when you're in your car and you've got to have game on? How do you do it?
Yeah. So silence. What I do is I drive with my car in silence, but then I imagine the best. So as I'm driving, you know, to an interview or speak, or just even to talk with a client, I just imagine the very best outcome. And I imagine walking away thinking, oh, that went really well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's great. Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you. You know, you, like I said, I could talk to you all day long. I think you have so much to offer. I think there's so many people that are going to be inspired after they hear this. And I know that Patty Dabrowski is going to be really excited because she is, she's inspired you and she's been on our podcast. It hasn't been posted yet, but you'll hear that soon. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on our podcast today. We graciously appreciate it. Again, we'll put the links on our website. And if anyone's interested, I would highly recommend you reaching out to Hannah. She is so easy to talk to, and she's got so much experience to share that I know whether it's for you, your teen, or someone you know is going to be greatly inspired by her, and she will be able to help them.
Thank you.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you're looking for a career coach to get you back on track, check us out at refocuscareers.com. We offer a three-step methodology that's going to help you evaluate where you're at, what you want to do, help you with your resume, and give you a plan to get you on your way. No matter what you do in life, don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus.